Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 13, Number 3. In the last edition of Clinical Review, I introduced the concept of wayfinding, which in the military and travel industry describes a variety of techniques used to locate unmarked regions or routes that are labeled incorrectly or simply unknown. Wayfinding in the conventional sense is spelled wayfinding, W-A-Y, but in this discussion on whey protein isolate, it is spelled wayfinding, W-H-E-Y. So I'm going to extrapolate the conventional notion of seeking something out, at least I had made that attempt, and in this case, I transferred the nutritional theme of knowing how to find and choose the right protein as a staple dietary supplement. So wayfinding is looking for the best whey protein. Whey protein isolate was first isolated and used for medicinal purposes in Germany, France, Switzerland, and England. Whey peptides countered the catabolic effects of wasting diseases and strengthened patient immune response. This discovery is what led to the popularity of whey protein isolate as a supplement for athletes worldwide. Whey is the thin, watery part of milk that separates from the curd after coagulation. Whey is mostly lactose and water, but it also contains the highest quality proteins known as determined by nitrogen retention, growth promotion, and biological value. Whey protein isolate, by definition, contains no less than 90% protein. It is my single favorite best choice of any protein supplement on the market, and in particular, I use Brad King's Ultimate High Alpha Whey Protein, which is distributed in Canada by Preferred Nutrition. It is very clean and smooth and mixes extremely well in water with or without a blender. On this edition of Clinical Review, my topic is PSN number 19, testosterone. In 1935, a German pharmacologist isolated special crystals from the testicles of a bull. Later that same year, Dutch chemists determined the chemistry of those crystals and named the substance testosterone. Testosterone is an English word, and it is derived from combining testis with sterol and one. Tes-ster-1, testosterone. Testosterone is the principal and most potent androgen known. In males, it is produced primarily by specialized cells within the testis called Leydig cells. Leydig cells number in the hundreds of millions and tend to slowly decrease in aging men. In females, 40% of their testosterone is manufactured by the ovaries. The rest comes from the adrenals, skin, muscles, body fat, and brain. Secretion of testosterone by the embryonic testicular Leydig cells, along with its potent derivative dihydrotestosterone, or DHT, leads to the formation of the male ductile system, external genitalia, and sexual differentiation of the male brain. Without the influence of testosterone released during this period, female reproductive organs and genitalia develop. So males definitely have testosterone on their brain. In both men and women, testosterone is produced through the combined action of the hypothalamic pituitary axis. Gonadotropin-releasing hormone stimulated from the hypothalamus stimulates the secretion of follicle-stimulating hormone and luteinizing hormone from the pituitary, acting on the ovaries in women and Leydig cells of the testes in men. Testosterone is both a steroid and anabolic hormone and is transported in the blood plasma attached to serum proteins. About 2% circulates in the unbound or free form. 44% is bound to sex hormone-binding globulin in men, 66% in women. The remainder, 54% in males and 32% in females, is bound to albumin. For many years, scientists believed it was solely the free fraction of testosterone that demonstrated biological activity. However, We now know that nearly all the albumin-bound testosterone is available for tissue uptake. Thus, the amount of bioavailable testosterone in normal males is approximately half of the total testosterone in circulation. In females, it is approximately one-third. Bioavailable, by the way, in this context, means the form of testosterone able to interact with cellular receptors and produce anabolic effects. The average male produces between 4 and 10 milligrams of testosterone a day. Females average between 0.04 and 0.12 milligrams. At the high end of each gender spectrum, which is 10 milligrams for males and 0.25 milligrams for females, the ratio difference is about 40 to 1, or a percentage contrast of 4,000%. This is why men generally respond to muscle-building strategies more quickly and with greater strength and size outcomes than women, and why the majority of women do not and cannot masculinize in response to weight training. The key is in the T, as they say. When injected with estrogen, males tend to feminize and get soft. When injected with testosterone, women tend to masculinize and get hard. Saliva can reliably indicate the amount of free testosterone in the bloodstream. Researchers who study the effect of mood on testosterone often use saliva because it's less invasive and very convenient compared to obtaining a live blood sample. Both sexes are able to convert the adrenal hormone DHEA into testosterone under the influence of ACTH. ACTH, or adrenocorticotropic hormone, a significant stress response related hormone, regulates the synthesis of pregnenolone and DHEA at the adrenals. ACTH function is impaired by a decline in melatonin. This demonstrates the significance of melatonin release for health. So all of these hormones are interrelated, all are essential, and when there is a decline, typically we often see symptoms because we're not compensating in other ways, or we're burnt out, like adrenal burnout is very common. Both testosterone and DHT are potent anabolic hormones. They influence growth in several tissues, especially skeletal muscle. Anabolic steroids are synthetic derivatives and isomers of the natural testosterone that we produce in our bodies. An isomer is any of two or more substances that are composed of the same elements in the same proportions, but differ in properties because of differences in the arrangement of atoms. So we've got the same atoms, but they're arranged differently, and that affects the chemistry and the properties when we consume them. There's different types of testosterone analogs, cypionate, propionate. There's a whole series, like there's a couple of dozens of these things, and that's one of the issues with taking steroids, is you're not sure exactly when you start which form is really ideal, because it's not normally being done under medical supervision and blood testing. Anabolic steroids provide those who take them with a copy or analog of testosterone in amounts typically much greater than what the body could ever produce naturally. In fact, the amount of testosterone now used by many athletes is beyond all reason. Males typically produce 4 to 10 milligrams per day naturally. It is not uncommon for pharmaceutical bodybuilders to inject 200, 500, and even 1,000 milligrams a day or week, and often in conjunction with recombinant insulin, growth hormone, and insulin growth factors. Side effects, which include things like steroid psychosis, elevated risk of heart and artery disease, lowered immune response, testicle shrinkage, increased fatty tissue in the male breast, chronic acne, and increased risk of blood clot formation. These are all directly related to frequency of exposure and the amount of substance taken. In many ways, steroid use can be compared to cigarettes and alcohol. All are used and frequently abused. But here's the thing. If you combine a well-planned steroid cycle with weight training and a higher intake of protein, you can build muscle mass, increase your strength, and experience a reduction in body fat all at an accelerated rate, exactly what many athletes and weightlifters want. But what about the cost, both morally, emotionally, mentally, and, of course, physiologically? What is the toll charge that life is going to demand? Nature is a dictator, and she never demonstrates prejudice. So if you want something in the short term, she's going to come back in the longer term and take back what you took originally, and usually that is a loss of your mind and body health. Steroid use for performance enhancement is illegal, banned by the IOC, and is now considered unethical by the medical profession. Steroid use without medical supervision and justification often leads to addiction and abuse. But let's keep in mind that it takes a certain mindset first to set the stage for addiction and abuse. Human behavior is always preceded by thought and desire. As men and women age, testosterone levels tend to decrease, while other hormones such as prolactin, estradiol, luteinizing hormone, and follicle-stimulating hormone tend to increase. In sedentary men, testosterone levels decrease with age by up to 50% between ages 25 and 75. The estimate in today's climate of passive inactive living is approximately 1% per year after age 25. A 7-year study completed by Dr. E.C. Tsai et al. From the University of Washington School of Medicine showed that declining testosterone impairs metabolic health and promotes obesity. Men with the lowest testosterone levels gain the most fat around their waist, also known as intra-abdominal fat, which increases risk of high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke, diabetes, high blood fats, and blood clotting abnormalities. The net effect of declining testosterone often causes an increase in circulating DHT. Although DHT plays a major role in the augmentation of skeletal muscle, it is responsible for several of the distinctly androgenic effects of testosterone, including hair loss, prostate enlargement, and damage to surrounding vesicles and sex-related tissues in males, especially when testosterone is down and cortisol levels are up. Many variables contribute to declining levels of testosterone, such as a decline in dopamine and acetylcholine function, elevated cortisol caused by prolonged stress and sleep deprivation, poor nutrition, consumption of trans fats, including fried foods, cookies, crackers, and margarine, various medications, testicular degeneration, constant worry and emotional stress, and even excessive aerobic activity. But keep this one main point in mind. Lack of testosterone is still principally caused by the absence of the anabolic drive or flux created through weight-bearing resistance training. This is one of the many great secrets of steel. The best therapy for the great majority of men and women who begin to lose their mental edge and sense of drive and ambition as they age is to get to the gym and throw some iron around. But for that, you need a good work ethic. You've got to be motivated, and you must so-called keep it up. Testosterone is critical to wellness for both men and women and is a key factor in the health of the heart and blood vessels. Leading up to World War II, German researchers showed that treatment with testosterone could normalize faulty glucose metabolism, relieve angina, and improve leg pain in men suffering from intermittent claudication. In treating castrated men with circulatory problems, in 1939, Dr. Edwards, M.D., a surgeon at Tufts College Medical School in Boston, discovered that injections of testosterone improved arterializations and peripheral blood volume. In 1994, Gerald Phillips, M.D. et al. At Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons discovered a clear inverse relationship between testosterone levels and the degree of coronary heart disease. The lower the testosterone, the more occlusion they found. Phillips also found that men with below normal levels of testosterone, especially free testosterone, had higher insulin levels, abnormal glucose metabolism, lower levels of HDL, higher blood fats, increased waist-to-hip ratio, or belly fat, and increased blood clotting factors. So get your tea on, people. Keep it up. Keep focusing on what it takes to sustain an optimum body composition loaded with lean, functional, healthy muscle. Muscle is the health engine, people, and it itself not only sustains us with testosterone, but the whole connection, the whole biological web, the whole scenario is how we ourselves as a whole being must sustain ourselves, mind, body, and spirit, to stay well, resist disease, and be relatively happy. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Gabriel Leacherman, founder of Hormonology and author of 28 Days, A Daily Horoscope and What Your Cycle Reveals About Your Love Life, Moods, and Potential. The morning is when a man's testosterone peaks in his 24-hour hormone cycle. Day 13 is when testosterone peaks in a woman's monthly hormone cycle. When these two hormonal peaks intersect, they can set the stage for the best sex all month long.